time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, we're on again, and it's, Wednesday? Yes, it is. Guess what? Fred Malone is here today, and boy, oh boy, we've missed Fred. Fred had it kind of the same thing I had, a little problem with lungs.
Oh boy, I'll tell you, Charlie, it knocked me for a loop.
Yeah, sounds like it, yeah. And did they tell you what you had?
Yes, yeah, it started out, I thought, was just a cold it was on Veterans Day, November the 11th. We had to perform out at the senior center. My wife was playing the piano and I was singing.
Yeah.
And I got up that morning and I thought, man, I got a really nasty cold. And it was like a head cold.
Yeah.
And so I went ahead and I did the performance that day. I was able to get through that. And the next morning when I got up, it had just shifted.
Wow.
To my chest.
Yeah.
So I called the doctor right away and got into the doctor, and they did an x-ray, and lo and behold, I had pneumonia in the left lung.
Wow.
So,
well, they had to take me by the squad, the Marion General, and I never knew for sure really what I had, except they did talk about pneumonia and gave me a pneumovax shot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, of course, you have to have two of those, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
but
yeah.
They've got sharp needles anymore, and you don't even.
No, you don't. You don't notice it. Well, they didn't give me any pneumonia shot. I started me on an antibiotic right away, and I ended up taking some steroids for about 10 days.
Yeah.
Afterward, to reduce the inflammation, but I was fortunate. It was only in the left side, as I said, and we got it early, so it was only engulfed about 2%, just a very, very small upper quadrant of the left lung. But I'll tell you, even at that, at my age, it just knocked me for a loop. I was down for 4 weeks.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah, 4 weeks.
And I had congestion
Yeah.
And it got so bad, they had to haul me to the hospital.
Yeah, well. Sometimes we don't realize how sick we actually
That's
are,
right.
And this, we can't admit it to ourselves.
Exactly.
And,
I'm too tough for this, man.
Yep. Well, I fought this off before. I can fight it off now. But, you know, you reach a certain plateau in your life, and you've got a few years on me.
Yeah.
It's just hard to reckon with, I guess.
I wouldn't have got to the hospital except my son-in-law said, you're going.
Yeah, well, sometimes that's what it takes. Yeah,
and
exactly.
The squad said, he's going.
Exactly. But.
So anyhow, hopefully we're speaking to a lot of well people today.
Let's hope so. And I was surprised to see it spitting a little bit of snow this morning.
Oh,
I thought
it?
We were done with it.
Yeah.
It's snowing now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, it's very light, you know, but...
When I came in, I could see some blue sky. I also saw on the east side of the company out here, the lumber company, there was a guy in the field there on Route 95.
Oh, he came out at Menards.
Carrying an AK-47, but he was deer hunting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I just hope that if there was a deer, I know I saw him in that same area. Of course, it's probably about 30. And I just hope he's accurate.
Yes.
And his bullet doesn't go astray.
Yeah, deer season always concerns me.
Oh, yeah.
With as many people that are out there deer hunting that don't always follow common sense rules.
Right, yeah.
And fortunately, you know, we don't have high power rifle hunting here in the state of Ohio. You can do it in Michigan, but not here. So obviously, those slugs don't travel as far as a high-powered rifle would. They can go up to a couple of miles. But still, if, you know, people are hunting in an open field and don't realize there's a highway nearby, it's all easy. And every year, you know, you get a report or two where a slug has gone through someone's house.
Yeah.
And things, crazy things end up. But
I
didn't see any report a week ago, the first week of deer season, how many deer they actually took. I saw nothing in the paper.
I didn't
that,
either. No.
Which is unusual.
Yes. Yeah, that's the first thing you hear about, how many deer were taken the first day.
Right, and normally, down where I grew up in Hocking County and Athens County, those are normally two of the largest takes in the state of Ohio.
Yeah.
Less populated, obviously, and a lot more cover and a lot more hills. And
but now, you know, a lot of people, you shoot a deer, and then what do you do?
Well, you got to dress it out on the spot.
Does it have some glands in the legs you've got to take out?
No, I'm not sure about the legs, but I know you have to get it gutted right away.
And
get all the interior organs out. Yeah. And all that.
I was thinking there was something in the legs that had to be removed or it scented the meat.
I don't know.
But,
That you got me. If anybody knows, give us a call and let us know. Yeah. But I know you got to get them. You got to get them gutted at least before you take them out. And then when you get them to wherever you're taking them, you know, they need to be hung, obviously.
Yeah, hung and skinned and all that.
And gotten to the processor as quickly as possible. So I love venison. I could, if someone, you know, brings venison in, I'm always the first one
like
to grab
that
it
too,
and eat
it.
Yeah, I do too.
Now, one thing I learned, the difference between reindeer and caribou.
I heard you talking about that the other day.
Yeah, they're the same animal.
That's interesting.
Yeah. One's domestic and one's not.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
But I had a reindeer sandwich when I was in Alaska. It tasted like good hamburger.
Now, I've never had reindeer. I've had buffalo.
Yeah, I had buffalo
and heard
not
you
too
talking
long ago.
About that. Yeah, when
in fact, I passed on the way in here this morning, I passed the young man that raises those buffalo in Marion County.
Well, years ago, when I was still in high school, there was a family down in Hocking County that started raising buffalo. They had a moving business, and they also had a lot of rangeland, I guess you would call it rangeland. And he got the idea that he wanted to try raising buffalo. And at one time, he had a herd of about 50 buffalo there.
That
I don't know whether he's still living or the family carried it on or not.
Right.
But I had an opportunity to eat buffalo over 50 years ago.
Yeah. It's got a good taste.
It does.
Better for you.
It does. Yep.
And Larry Eblin is his name that raised them. He also raises longhorn cattle.
Where's his farm at?
It's up on Lyons Road.
Okay.
Up near, in front of his house, he has the Depo sales horse.
Oh, okay.
Remember? Big
sure,
red.
Right.
And he's got buffalo on, and the short longhorns on one side of the road there, and it keeps him busy.
Oh, I'm sure.
But he's Bowstring Restaurant in Caledonia sells buffalo sandwiches.
Really?
Yeah, or
bison
sandwiches.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'll have to take my wife out there and not tell her what she's eating.
Yeah, I had one not too long ago, and I really liked it, yeah.
I heard on the news yesterday, and then it was again, it was on this morning on Channel 6 out of Columbus, or 28, and they were talking about how bad the coyote population is getting and how brave and bold they're getting.
It's no wonder. Food.
Well, they're starving to death.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to tell them.
Oh, wait.
Call.
We've got a call. That's just a second here. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Fred.
Hey, hello there.
I wondered what happened to you. I was about ready to send out a fleet of St. Bernards.
Well, you heard me talking about being down with pneumonia.
Well, you know, that's what happens when you play a former Ohio governor.
That's right.
Especially
a dead one.
Yeah. Whoa. No, I was just calling to see. Did you get a chance to see that footage?
I did.
You did? Good.
Yes, I did. And I thought it was very well done. In fact, I've talked to his father-in-law a couple of times, and he's still waiting to find out whether or not he's going to get that gig. Yeah, what you did was great. I thought it was
great. Well, if you want a copy of it, I can get you a copy of it. You know, I thought for a moment, I didn't know what era. It was Governor Cox, right?
Yes. Well, for me this year?
Yeah.
Yes, I was doing Governor Cox because he was a candidate against Harding in 1920.
Yeah, and that was like the late 1890s, early 1900s, right?
Well, he was governor three different times. He served three different terms. He was actually a sitting governor in 1920 when he was running for vice president or running for president against Harding. So, yeah, it was the early 20s.
Okay, so color film hadn't been in by then.
No.
So that's why I made one. It was color leading into him. And then another one I thought, oh, geez, for that time frame, color film wasn't there.
Well,
so
you know,
I
actually.
Another one, black and white. With you and then leading into Garfield, right?
Actually, I went to a program at the library here a few months ago. They have a program now. They kind of took the place of what Ohio State used to do with that learning, those learning classes they did for adults, the LEI classes. And the library is kind of doing a similar thing. And they had one here a few months ago about the history of film. And there was an assistant professor from Bowling Green University that came down and put on this program, and he concentrated on the year 1939 primarily because that was a big year for Gone with the Wind and Wizard of Oz mm-hmm. and all those major motion pictures. But he went back and during his presentation and was talking about the history of film and Hollywood and all that. And they were actually experimenting around with color-type film as early as the late teens and early 20s. So there was some color film being experimented with back in the days, even when they were doing silent pictures.
Yeah, and some of them, they would just have one color.
Yes, right,
so
right.
That it would get emotion. It was supposed to represent emotion.
Yeah,
stuff,
yeah. So. He was saying one color, and sometimes they were doing two colors to give some sort of a variation or a difference in it. Yeah, but I thought it was very interesting. The only thing that I kind of got upset with him, 1939 was a big year for filmography and for major motion pictures. Again, you know, like I said, with Gone with the Wind and The Wizard of Oz and Drums Along the Mohawk and some of those really big films, he did not have The Rains Came.
And the what?
The Rains Came. The Rains Came was adapted from a book that Lewis Brumfield wrote. And in 1939, it was premiered. The premiere took place over in Mansfield at both of the big theaters over there. But Louis did the screenplay version of it, and it was up for an Academy Award against Gone with the Wind and mm-hmm. The Wizard of Oz for special effects. And by golly, don't you know, it won.
It won the Oscar
for special effects, beating out The Burning of Atlanta and The Flying Monkeys and all that stuff and The Wizard of Oz. And this guy was about 35 years old, and he didn't even have The Rains Came up on the board with all of these other pictures that came out in 1939. So afterwards, I went up to him and I said, hey, you missed a big picture that year. And I told him about it, and he said, my gosh, I never heard of it. I never heard of Louis Brumfield.
Now,
he's a professor at Bowling Green State University teaching young people the history of film and leaving out the most famous author born in Ohio, other than Sherwood Anderson.
Did he have a PhD or was he just a master's?
He was assistant professor for filmography at Bowling Green State University.
Oh, gee whiz. He did not do his homework.
He didn't do his homework very well. So I told him, I said, you go home and you Google Louis Brumfield and you Google The Rains Came and you're going to get an education today. And he was mm-hmm. very appreciative of what I told him. Yeah. I think he was embarrassed, too.
The biggest thing was with David O. Selznick. He was producing both The Wizard of Oz and Gone with the Wind.
Right.
And
right.
It nearly killed the guy.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
It was just such an undertaking. And, just unbelievable. Well, and that's why it got most of the press.
Gone with the Wind actually had three different directors. It started out with one director, and they changed directors midstream, and I can't remember who was the producer for the film. It escapes me right now. But anyway, he wasn't happy with him and finally ended up with the third and final director, and that's who ended up directing the film. But, it was just amazing that he hadn't included him, but didn't know him.
Well, hey, I'm glad to hear your you're able to break horizontal hold.
Finally right. Able to
among the living.
Yeah, I tell you, I didn't do a thing. I practically stayed in bed the entire time, and like I told Charlie when I talked to him here last week, you know, there's still things I can't do. I'm still not completely fully at my full strength. So, but that's what happens when you get old.
That's how I know you're feeling.
Yeah. Hey, talk to you soon.
Have a good show.
Yep. Happy holidays.
Yeah, it's heck when you get, like, I'm 85 and I just can't get out and do what I used to, and that
well,
to
it's
me,
aggravating.
Mentally is
it
terrible.
It is. It's like when I fell off the ladder a couple of years ago,
yes,
trying
right.
to clean out the gutters, and it's like my at that time my 68-year-old brain doesn't or body doesn't do what my 30-year-old
uh-huh.
mind tells
yes.
me I should be able to do.
That's something.
And I still feel like I'm, you know, just yeah. a kid, but right. doesn't work that way.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I was going to ask you too. A cousin of mine died. He was from Findlay, and in his obituary, it talked about him working on a Sycamore golf course. Is there one up around Sycamore? Maybe just had the title.
Probably just had the title.
Okay.
The only golf course that would be close to Sycamore would be Lincoln Hills, just outside of Upper
okay,
Sandusky
yeah.
on Old Route 30.
Oh, yeah, I know it. Yeah, this was Sycamore Springs or something
well,
like that.
Well, there is one actually up around, it's just outside of Fremont. It's right on Route 6.
Okay.
And I think it's called Sycamore Hills.
Okay.
Yeah.
That must have been the
yeah,
one
I've
he
played
worked
that
on,
one
yeah.
before. Yeah.
Wow.
I played that before.
Okay.
But back to this course that we took at the library, and they've had a couple of more there, and I very
yeah, now
very,
that LEI is still going.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not.
No, it's not. It's
no
done.
Kidding.
It's done.
Wow.
Yeah, there's no more LEI out at Ohio State.
Okay.
And I don't really know all the particulars of why they quit doing it, but as I said, the local library here, the county library, has taken on. A similar type program.
Yes, they've done a wonderful thing
yeah,
here at the library.
And it's very inexpensive. I think you can take all the programs. I think they offer maybe five or six for one fee, or you can pay like $5
per
individual.
Ted,
right?
I've got
and
all the Christmas second. Songs ready to go for the upcoming holiday season, but I can't seem to find the 12 Days of Christmas.
That's not a problem, Scott. I know it by heart, and I'll sing it for you. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 5 golden rings.
Yeah, but what about the other 11 days?
Well, that's the only day that counts as far as I'm concerned. Golden voice, golden ring.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, the place for the holiday season.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again. Okay, and yeah, we were talking about
the library's new program.
Yes,
yeah.
The library.
So anyway, they offer you'd have to check with the library to see if there's anything being offered through the winter months. But the one that we went to that I talked about earlier was in early fall, and very interesting program. I enjoyed it, and they had a full house. Their auditorium
Is that
room
right?
that they
no
put
kidding.
On back there was completely full. So hopefully this will provide the same type of continuing education that the LEI classes offered when they were
going
to Ohio State. But off air, we were talking about the public broadcasting. And, of course, I still enjoy watching a lot of public broadcasting. And I'm fortunate enough to get, with my DirecTV hookup, I get WOSU, of course, which is Channel 34. That's Ohio State. And I also get Channel 20. Which is the PBS station WOUB out of Athens.
Oh.
And that's particularly interesting to me because I graduated from Ohio
yeah,
University
right.
and you know still have a lot of connections with Southern Ohio. And interestingly enough, the kid that just won the Heisman Trophy the other night was from the Plains, which is just north of Athens, still in Athens County. And my aunt taught school there.
Yeah, I saw such good – comment about him.
What a wonderful kid.
A wonderful character.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
My man.
He, his speech actually brought tears to my eyes. He was talking about how impoverished the area is, and I know that to be a fact, having grown up in that area. You know, it's two or three times the national average as far as poverty rate's concerned.
It got to the Ohio State coach, too. I guess.
Yes, yeah. I think he got very emotional about it as well. But this Burroughs kid, just a wonderful kid. And he actually lived in, his family lives in the Plains, which, as I said, is just north of Athens, but went to Athens High School. And my aunt actually taught school after she retired from Nelsonville, York. She taught school for a few years down at the Plains. And it is a distressed area of the state of Ohio.
Yeah.
Oh, very much is.
Yeah, and the...
Did you hear yesterday how much money that had been pledged to the Athens County Food Bank? It's up to
$275,000. Yeah, I saw that.
Just from his comments.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he made those comments not even thinking, that something like this would happen.
Yeah.
But to share his good fortune and being able to help so many people in Athens County, it's just unreal.
Isn't that something?
Unreal.
Yeah, great.
There's still a lot of good kids left in
the
world.
Yes. But, you know, Southern Ohio, Southeastern Ohio, what do you do to improve the economy there?
Well, I don't know. Of course, if you could get industry there where there were jobs, that would help tremendously.
Jobs,
that's the biggest problem.
People trained.
Yes, right. You know? And of course, most of the industry that's been in Southern Ohio over the last century or 50 years has moved out. Simply because a lot of the labor, the jobs have been taken out of this country.
That's right.
It's had a terrible effect.
Yeah.
Prime example, Brooks Shoe Company from Nelsonville, Ohio.
Oh, yes, yes.
Makers of Rocky Boots.
Right, right.
And a few other types of shoes that are well known in this country. Been in Nelsonville for as long as I can remember. Clear back when I was a kid staying with my aunt in Nelsonville, Brooks Shoe Company was in existence. But Rocky Boots put them on the map. They employed hundreds of people in their factory there in Nelsonville.
Yeah.
And they opened a distributing center just north of Athens on Route 33 between Athens and Logan a number of years back, and that employed a lot of people too. Well, you know, they're just like everybody else. They found a chance to make their boots out of the country. I think they went to Mexico to do it, and that lost a lot of jobs, and that just added to the poverty level
That's
in
right.
that area. The unemployment.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
It's a frustrating thing. What are you going to do when your cost of production is such that you can have it produced cheaper elsewhere? You're naturally going to go elsewhere.
Well, sure. I mean, you in a sense, you can't blame these corporations because it all comes down to the bottom line. And if you don't produce and have a good bottom line, the company either goes out or the shareholders vote you out and put in somebody new to run the company.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
Another good example in Scioto County where our farm was, New Boston, which is a, I guess you'd call it a suburb of Portsmouth. It's, you go out of Portsmouth and go to the southeast and you run through New Boston. Used to be a huge steel manufacturing area.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody remembers, at least people our age remember Vernal Reif, Bernie Reif, who was the Speaker of the Ohio House for years and years and years.
I got his autograph on a thing declaring Buckeye Chuck the state's groundhog.
Well, Uncle Vernie was Southern Ohio.
Oh.
And as long as Uncle Vernie was still in the Ohio legislature and was still Speaker of the House, things were great in Southern Ohio. When he retired, and it wasn't his fault, obviously, he wasn't the only person, but the steel industry in New Boston just continued to go downhill, and there's no more steel produced there. And when the steel industry left New Boston, much like the steel industry leaving Mansfield, that really affected the employment rates there.
Just think, it all started with iron ore.
Absolutely.
And it went from there to steel. Or, you know, and in the process, and now it's nothing.
Yep. My great-great-great-grandfather, James McKinley, came from Pennsylvania into northeast Ohio to manufacture an iron ore, or to run an iron ore plant. Right,
right. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now something.
So it got its start, you know, in the hills of Pennsylvania and over in that general area. But then, of course, you see what's happened to Pittsburgh and that whole area over there.
Evolution,
no more steel.
Evolution,
no more steel.
Yeah, right.
Japanese.
And I remember crossing the Allegheny River at around Harrisburg and looking at the steel mill in shambles.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a shame. So I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how you get more manufacturing jobs in Southern Ohio. Thank goodness for Jim Rhodes a number of years ago when he started introducing technical colleges to the state of Ohio, junior universities, because that gave some of those kids in those impoverished areas a chance to at least get some sort of further education beyond high school, and didn't give them a chance to learn a trade.
Yeah, that's right.
And a lot of those two-year schools that Jim Rhodes was very instrumental in get starting in Ohio have now become four-year colleges. Hocking College started out as a two-year.
Is that right?
Started out as a two-year school, and that was one of the first schools that Governor Rhodes was actively involved in getting started. So, you know, I'm a great admirer of Jim Rhodes. He did a lot of great things for the state of Ohio and a lot of great things for Southern Ohio. And of course, he was born in Jackson County and came from a very, very poor family.
Yeah. And I can remember the criticism he got for building a highway to Honda.
Oh, yes. Oh, sure. Yeah. Now look at it.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
If it wasn't for Honda, how many thousands of people work there?
Yeah, that's Ohio's economy.
You betcha.
Good area.
You betcha. Yeah. Oh, and I did see on the news last night that there's a new company coming into the Lordstown plant that are going to manufacture electric vehicles.
Yeah, batteries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's something.
And the legislature is actually talking about giving people a tax break or some sort of an incentive if you buy an electric car manufactured in Lordstown.
No kidding.
That'll be down the road, obviously.
Yeah, right.
It's going to be about a year before the factory's up and running.
Doggone. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, so I guess there's still hope for the impoverished Mahoning Valley.
Too bad there isn't something like that in Southern Ohio. But it
yeah, really. Well, you know, they've tried to... years ago, the atomic plant there
Piketon.
Between Piketon and Waverly was a big boomer, and of course, it shut down a number of years ago. But they're in the process now of completely redoing those old buildings, and there's supposed to be something new going in there.
And we used to have a building here to replace the one at Piketon in case anything happened to it.
Right, absolutely.
And the building is still there, but that's it.
Yep.
Empty.
Yep. Oh, by the way. Did you notice that there are now cars back, or cars, trucks, and SUVs back in the lot?
Jeeps.
Yeah.
And others.
And it was totally empty for a while.
Yeah, absolutely empty.
Yeah. I had people say, hey, what happened to all those vehicles out there? What'd they do? Shut that down? I said, I think it's just a transition, you know.
Yeah.
It'll be full again.
Yeah.
And it is.
Boy, I guess so.
Yeah.
Jeeps everywhere.
And it seemed like I drove down by there one day and there was nothing, and I drove down by a couple of days later and it was full. Yeah,
It's just Ted Graham has done such a wonderful thing.
He
with
has.
That.
He really has,
oh,
and he's been very generous to the community.
Yes,
as well.
He has, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I can remember years and years ago taking flights that crossed the engineer depot with their collapsed roofs and shambles. And yep. I was in the building when Ted bid on that ground and bought it.
Trella Romine used to speak very highly of Ted. I think they were very good friends.
Right.
And Trella, of course, was, instrumental in getting those two markers that set out there on 309 by Ted's place there.
Yeah. And Ted gave me a tour one day of his facility, and I saw pickup truck said Bucyrus Rail Service. And I thought, what on earth is that? Since that time, I've learned Bucyrus Rail Service is one of the largest in the country, located in Bucyrus and Marion.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know
that. They do everything to repair railroad cars. Those have been smashed.
Yeah.
And general maintenance. Oh, my land. Bucyrus Rail Service.
Speaking of Bucyrus, we went through there the other day on our way. I don't remember where we were going now, but I know, over to Shelby. And the downtown area of Bucyrus is really remarkably changed.
Isn't it something?
It really is
clean and neat.
It really is. And the park where the theater used to be. What a great improvement. And the town square itself, and there didn't look to me really, Charlie, like there were that many empty buildings in downtown.
That's
Bucyrus,
right. There are some.
A lot of things in the storefronts.
Yeah. But at least they keep everything swept up.
Yes, they
There's
do.
There's no debris.
Yeah. I was very impressed with that. And busy. When we went through there, it was the middle of the afternoon, and there was hardly a parking place to be had on the street. So it looks amazing to me like it's made a real nice comeback.
Now, the other night, they had an ice skating rink installed on the square, and people showed up by the dozens ice skating.
Oh, really? Where did they put that?
It was on the northeast side of the square. Apparently, it wasn't frozen. It was plastic.
Oh, yeah. They just put one. There's one of those, I think, just opened up down in Worthington or Westerville. One
oh,
of those.
Really?
Yeah. I saw it on the news or saw it on the television.
I was wondering.
Yeah, it looks like. Yeah, there's no ice or anything involved, but you can go on it with real ice skates.
Yes, everything, but they don't want you to use the figure skates to dig up the plastic.
Right, right.
But I thought that scene, now you could see that whole scene from a webcam on top of the Weaver Hotel. It looks down on the square.
Really?
And it was such a sight to see all those people ice skating just like out of a postcard.
Now, what do you have to pull up to get that website?
Bucyrus Webcam.
Bucyrus Webcam.
Yeah. And it's all along on top of the Weaver Hotel.
Well, I'll be darned.
Pointed down at the square.
That's interesting. Yeah, I always enjoy looking at the live webcam that shows Niagara Falls.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in the wintertime.
Yeah. I like looking at the one that shows the ferry boat marina. At Catawba Island.
Oh, now how do you find that one?
Well, you just type in
Miller's.
Yeah, Miller
Ferry Boat Lines
webcam.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, there. I have to check that Bucyrus one out because I'd like to see that.
Do that.
And I need to make a trip over there to see that skating rink because I wanted to really see
the rink is gone. It was only there one day.
Oh, they took it out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it was so quaint looking. My.
I'll be darned.
I couldn't get over, and all the merchants had lighted candles in front of their businesses. And
was this for like a holiday open house?
Yeah, it
or
was.
Something?
Yeah, okay. Christmas open house. Yeah.
Okay.
They have it every year, but this is the first I've seen an ice skating rink. Wow.
Wow, that's something else.
Well, no, they had it last year. That's right. They had the ice skating rink last year too, but I wasn't aware of how it was conducted.
Well, for a number of years, and I don't know whether they're still doing it or not, but. How close are we getting to break time?
Oh, we've got 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. Not till 11. They used to do this up in Sycamore. They would build a frame.
Oh, yeah.
Down one of the ball diamonds.
Did you know children used to get oranges in their stockings at Christmas time?
So why did they get oranges?
They were said to represent gold.
Wow, that's right up my alley. Now, let me try this with my golden voice. This is the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, reminding you not to forget oranges for your children's stockings at Christmas. And if you throw in some grapes, you can make a nice fruit salad.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, the place for the holiday season.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions, don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again with Fred Malone, and we're talking about things that are happening around the area. And, Fred, the Bucyrus New Reservoir, it's called the New... Well, when I was growing up, it was new because it was new. Then we had the old reservoir. Then we had the Althwaite Reservoir, the upground.
Now, that's the one out off of 98.
Yes, right.
Okay.
And the old reservoir was across the road from there.
Right.
And now the New Reservoir, as it was called... is going to be drained because the dam that held it is breaking, and they're afraid of a flood.
Is that the one down near the Sportsman's Club?
It runs along Route 30.
Yes, okay, right.
Yeah.
That's what
right.
I was thinking of, yeah.
And the thing is, my cousin said his brother's ashes were going to be spread over the new reservoir, and I said, wait a minute, that's going to be empty. And he didn't know. Of course, he lives in Palo.
Sure.
In California.
Sure, right. Well, he'll have to take them up to the one off of 98 there.
And, yeah, and right.
Sprinkle them in there.
I spent my youth at that old reservoir sitting on the and the cement abutment that's still there that I sat on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Well, that was quite a fishing location for a number of years, right?
Yes. Yeah. I can remember the guy that operated Baker's Sporting Goods caught the largest bass up until that time. And he had it mounted on his wall in his place on Walnut Street.
Are those guys still operating? I know Makers is still there, but is it still the same family?
Jim Baker would be 100 and some years old now. So I don't know who had, but it's still there.
Yeah, it was still called Baker's. In fact, I was in there a couple of years ago. I stopped in there looking for a particular gun. And
I've got pictures of Jim Baker. He worked for my dad as a service station attendant. Just down the street at the big company, Ohio Station, that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And, Dad did some trick photography back in the late 30s and early 40s, showing the guys he had working for him throwing a bucket of water out, and all of a sudden the water would go back in the bucket.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that Baker's, like I said, I've stopped in there numerous times over the years, I think the last time I was in there was maybe a year or so ago. I was looking for a particular gun, and you know, you can find almost anything in there, to this day. But when you go in there, there's always four or five guys playing cards in there.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of reminds me of Mayberry in a way, because walk in the place, and there's just junk everywhere. And, of course, he's got all these used guns all over the place, and he sells new as well. But there's just piles of junk everywhere. You can barely move around in the place.
Wow.
But there's always four or five guys in there playing cards.
I'll be doggone.
And they're all old guys, you know. Yeah. Retired, and they're drinking coffee and playing cards and talking about everybody under the sun, you know.
You know,
but it's a pleasant scene to me to see, because it reminds me so much of my dad's feed store growing up, you know.
You know, back when I was a Minuteman on the fire department, there was a small fire above Baker's Sporting Goods, and they said, Evers, you go up and find out what's burning and try to get whatever, if it's a mattress, get it out the window. And so I went up the steps, and I had to keep my nose to the ground because we had no breathing equipment.
Oh, sure, yeah, in those days.
But I found a fire and got the mattress out, throwing it out on the ground.
You were able to get it out a window.
Yeah, I was keep thinking, how did I get that folded up to get it out?
Yeah, really, to get it out.
Yeah.
Of course, mattresses back in those days probably weren't worth much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't box spring.
No, I'm sure, yeah.
Yep, those were the days. But, yeah, it's interesting. You had apparently just about the same thing wrong with you that I had with myself, only I ended up after the hospital stay in a nursing home.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And, they tried to take care of me, of course, but I was sharing a bathroom with four other guys.
Oh, my word. That's worse than a college dormitory.
Yeah, and I said more than, oh, my goodness.
I'm sure, on more than one occasion.
But, you know, that is, and you, I guess you can, under Medicare, you can stay 20 days in a nursing home free, or, I mean, they pay for it.
Right. So were they trying to do, like, rehab with you?
Yes,
getting up, walking around?
They let me out when I walked 236 steps, or 536, and they did very little, you know.
Now I notice you haven't been using your oxygen.
No, I haven't. I haven't used oxygen even at night now for the last week. I must be getting better.
Well, now, there again, that could have been leading up to this bout of pneumonia.
That's right.
Your shortness of breath and so forth. So
yeah, I am.
So you're getting plenty of O2 now then.
Yeah, I run 95 to 98%.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
And I don't know why. I guess it's the medicine I'm taking.
Well, I must say, you look much better now than the last time I saw you, because I haven't seen you. I wasn't here last
month.
It's been
a while.
I haven't seen
you
for a couple of months, right?
But I was I was pretty bad off, but I managed to only miss a few days' work between the hospital stay and the nursing home.
Yeah, yeah. Where were you? What nursing home were you
in? It was Presidential.
Oh, okay.
James Way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And it wasn't very long before that I spoke at another nursing home out that way on James.
Oh, yeah, the one further down the street.
Yeah, the further.
Past Kingston. Yeah.
Right, right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Hey, before I forget, yeah. I want to mention this. Kensel Clutter, of course,
yeah, yeah.
Who we all know,
years old, yeah.
is going to be turning 100 years old on December 31st. Yeah. And I would like anybody listening, all of our faithful listeners, to send out a birthday card to Kensel. And you can actually send it in care of the Marion County Historical Society.
Oh, really? Okay.
169 East Church Street here in Marion. And we're going to make sure that we get those to Kensel on his birthday. But, yeah, he's going to be turning 100 years old on December 31st.
Otherwise, his address is 4032 Pole Lane Road.
Yeah. Either way.
Yeah.
Like I said, if you want to just send him in care of the Marion County Historical Society, 169 East Church Street, before the 31st, we'll make sure that he gets them.
You know, I had Kensel in here on the air with a couple of other World War II guys.
I listened to that broadcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And it's just amazing.
We had Don Wilson in, too.
Yeah. Right. How Kensel has held up through all the...
He is still working several hours a day on the computer on another book.
Yeah.
At 100 years old.
100 years old, and he's computer savvy.
Oh, yes, he sure is.
Oh, boy.
He's got me beat all to heck and back, I'll tell you.
Isn't that something?
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And, of course, you know, he recovered from cancer here four or five years ago.
Yeah, and
pretty tough bout of it.
He worked in the Kildare or the Clarendon Wildlife area, weeding out the plants were not.
And the Trellis Romine Prairie.
Yeah.
Clear up until these mid-90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
He's an amazing man.
He is.
And
he really is.
Really, you know, I would have loved to seen the Marion Airport called Clutterfield.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't that have been great? That really would have been
great. I mean, this guy went through the thick of it in World War II.
Yep. He was in the Pacific. He was part of the 7th Air Force over in the Pacific. Was a co-pilot on B-17s, was actually shot down and crash-landed on an island in the Pacific.
Right.
I don't remember the name of the island. There's actually some video on the internet of his plane coming down.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, it's amazing.
And, a Japanese film.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. And to survive all that. And he kept a diary for a solid year and then, of course, wrote letters home. Which just last year was incorporated into a book that he wrote that the Historical Society published, and we have that book available
at
the museum.
Yeah.
And even though the museum is closed now, if you're interested in a copy of that, you can stop at the office Monday through Friday. There, just go in on the State Street side, ring the bell, and the girls would be more than happy to sell you a copy of that book.
Oh, okay.
And we have other books too. If you're looking for a last minute Christmas gift, I might as well throw this out.
Yeah, all right.
We have an awful nice section, a really nice collection of locally written books, and of course Randy Wendland's new book.
Yeah, the Crystal Lake
Park. Excuse me, that just came out on Crystal Lake Park is available. But that book of Kensel's is absolutely amazing. And when you stop and think that he compiled that and turned that into a book at age 98, 99, that's really
unbelievable.
Amazing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
What an amazing man, Kensel Clutter. There'll never be another quite like him.
Nope. And then, of course, our other friend Don Wilson, who is 95 and doing great.
Yes.
Goes every day. Right. Doesn't miss a beat. He was a tail gunner and a radio operator on a TBM Avenger.
Yes.
Also flew in the Pacific off the short carriers. They call them tin cans.
Yeah, right.
Off the short aircraft carrier. Another amazing aviator here from Marion County. You know, Marion County has a huge history of aviation that people don't
even
realize.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
A lot of guys from this area that were involved in aviation in World War II.
Yeah.
And, of course, Korea and Vietnam as well.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice if you knew about every individual that...
Well, you know, several years ago, we started working on a program over at the museum trying to get oral histories on anybody that was involved in aviation here in Marion County. And we do have quite a bit of it on film.
Well, that's good.
So I'm sure we missed a lot of guys. And, of course, the unfortunate part about it now with the World War II vets is we're losing them
Too
at a
fast.
Huge rate every day. And I think there are less than I want to say there's less than a couple hundred thousand of them left in the United States.
That's right.
And we still have several here in Marion County.
I can remember when World War One was at that stage.
Yeah, right, exactly. Now, here it is, World War Two.
In fact, I can remember a few people from the Civil War I saw back in the early 30s.
Really?
Yeah.
How amazing.
Oh, yeah, they were marching in a parade.
I know my mother talked about that.
A Memorial Day parade.
Yeah.
Boy. So it's something, and our Vietnam guys are leaving us?
Well, they're, you know, that's my era, and those guys that served in Vietnam are, you know, late 60s up into their early 80s. So, you know, we're starting to lose them now. In fact, the Honor Flight will still push the World War II guys to the front of the line, so to speak. So if you're a World War II vet and you have not taken the Honor Flight down to see your memorial in Washington, D.C., make sure you get on the internet or have a family member check that out for you. Just go to Honor Flight Columbus and look at it. But they're also now taking Korea, and they're doing Vietnam.
I can imagine.
Where. And they've also got it now so that even if you served any time from 1951 on, you're eligible to take that flight, right? So that includes whether it's wartime or not, Cold War, you know, any of those, you can sign up for it. Now, of course, your wait may be a couple of years down the line, but at least you can get signed up for it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. And John Shore is the president of Honor Flight Columbus, and he lives here in Marion. He's a retired trooper, Ohio State trooper.
Isn't that amazing? I can remember 1951 was the year that the Navy was going to give me a rank because I could do 35 words a minute Morse code.
Sure, with Morse code.
And then they said, well, now we've got to see if you're fit to be in the Navy. And they made me jump up and down 15 times on each foot and said, nope, can't take you. Your heart's beating too fast.
Too fast, yeah. I tried to get in the Navy, too, in 68, and they wouldn't take me. Yeah.
I'd have been in the Korean War.
Yeah, you would have been. Well, I'd have been in the Vietnam War if they would have taken
George me. George DeSoto's Korean War.
Yep, right. Yep.
So we're about a minute away from our break here.
I'll just mention that one more time. Yeah. Cancel Clutter's 100th birthday is December 31st. So if you want to send a card either to his home address or in care of the Marion County Historical Society at 169 East Church Street, we'll make sure that those get to Cancel. I'd like to see hundreds of cards hit for Cancel.
I can remember the day I met him. It was about 1971. He called me out to his house to show me these strange stones in a ditch near him.
Really?
Yeah.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio, the place for the holiday season.